It is time to head off to the cage with Charles. Senor Charles, are you ready?
I'm ready to break it down. Welcome, everybody, your weekly Trueplex The Cage with Charles. Full disclaimer, wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It is a stage fight. It is a chase for glory. It is about men and women beating the holy hell out of each other, wanting to cut a little blood in life, want to get the revenge that they need, want to put their name and legacy, to point at big signs like WrestleMania, to concede when you are losing, such as NXT going to Tuesdays now instead of Wednesdays, also because NBC, of course, is shutting down NBCSN, so they gotta put hockey somewhere. And sometimes it's just about damn good entertainment and damn good comedy. And sometimes it's about making bad, real bad decisions that you hope pays off in a long time, or else you are stuck with Stockholm Syndrome and you're thinking that a certain title design is pretty when it's really pretty ugly.
Charles, one second. Our friend of the show, Jeremy Taché, has just put here, I guess Barry Jackson also, the P in Lone Depot Park will be lowercased. Lone, the L is lowercase, the D is capitalized, and the P in Park will be lowercase. So that's how the Marlins are going to be doing things for the next few years. Joy!
Well,
our learned savior. If it is what he wants, then we cannot question him.
It's Stockholm Syndrome. You have to learn to love it, right? Even though you're initially against it.
WWE fan would know that for sure.
Yeah, because it's going to segue us to a couple things. Learning to love it even though you're against it. So, guys, I watch Fastlane. I watch Fastlane on Peacock for those who have not been listening to the, I guess, 90 episodes that we've been introducing The Cage. WWE sold off the licensing rights to the WWE Network, to NBC Universal, to Peacock, so they can be the primary place for all WWE content, not named YouTube. So essentially my WWE Network subscription was canceled. I had to go get Peacock. Excellent deal. 4 months for $2.50 each. Jump up. There's already been kind of hiccups for some people concerning the fact that there's going to be edited content to make sure it's up to the cultural norms of what Universal is seeking and also what WWE is actually doing on their platform. Because remember, this is just for the U.S. only. Peacock only has it for those rights. So anybody who's international, and unfortunately it doesn't work if you're getting international VPN, the WWE Network is also scrubbing into those difficulties. Why? Because WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, is a publicly owned stock. So in today's cancel culture climate, Triple C, you're going to want to do something that's not going to upset everybody. But good luck, Peacock, once you get to the ECW days, once you get to the Attitude Era of bra and panty matches, and then the oddities, First Blood matches, Mr. McMahon making out with Trish Stratus, that still gives me nightmares. The fact that Vincent Kennedy McMahon has touched the lips of that goddess, oh, that's creepy. Very creepy. Super creepy. You know, but wrestling's also what, guys? A circus. It's a theater. It's a parade sometimes. Soap opera as well. That's when the storylines kind of came in between. But with all the graphic gore, because WWE had the licensing rights to this, not WWF, WWE, WCW, ECW. ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling, guys. So it's pretty graphic stuff that you get there. Barbed wire, a lot of blood. I like it. But it's interesting. So I tried out Peacock. I watched Fastlane. I didn't watch Fastlane last show because it was kind of like a throwaway pay-per-view and I wanted to do some other stuff. The pay-per-view was bad, but there was two matches that helped out. If you go on a C range, it was just like a C minus a C pay-per-view. But shout out to Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. That was a great match. I liked it. No DQ, anything goes kind of thing. You know, they have many names for it, but they just beat the holy hell out of each other. And I liked Roman versus Edge. I'm sorry. Daniel Bryan with Edge as a special enforcer, because now Edge has seemingly turned heel. I don't think he's the bad guy. We're going to talk about that in a second when we go to SmackDown. But the road to WrestleMania has kind of begun. And using Peacock's app gives me some concerns, because I don't think you could pause during live shows. So if I have to go to the bathroom, you know, what's going to happen there, right? I'll have to really hold out till the match is over. I have to do it during a throwaway match like Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. We'll get to WWE in a second, I promise. But this is what I have, and I'm paying less money for it than I was paying for the WWE Network, so why am I bitching, right? Because I want the library content, but they have all the WrestleManias. So I've already been able to watch some of my favorite WrestleManias because it's a long 8-hour workday, 9-hour workday working at home. And I don't want to put on the final, you know, continuing season of My Hero Academia that I'm on because I'll get caught up into it. And I've been on Attack on Titan. We've been redoing that because I never got to season two. And I'll get lost in translation. But to put on WrestleMania 25, which is probably the best WrestleMania, which has I left off at the start of Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, which might be the best WrestleMania match out there. I really should get a top 10 WrestleMania matches that I've seen and I've witnessed before the WrestleMania show, which is next week. Was that William Regal in the background? Yes, it is. There's so much stuff going on, guys. This cage could be an hour in itself if I didn't kind of like hosh-posh-me-gosh at all. But Peacock's what I got, and I got used to it, as does everybody else. So let's talk about a few things before we get to the road to WrestleMania. AEW, congratulations. You get to watch me. I get to watch you every Wednesday because NXT, as you see, William Regal is now moving to Tuesday nights. Now, NXT was not winning the Wednesday night war as it was dubbed. I don't know how it's going to be a war if it was just for a year. We'll call it like a little battle, but they were splitting ratings. Neither of them really broke a million either. So this move benefits both sides because NXT will go as low as like 600,000 in the Nielsen viewings and the demos, and AEW will win the demos, but they hardly cracked a million. They had a hard time getting onto 800,000 viewers. And here's the thing you guys got to consider. For NXT, it is really like the weekly show because they have a little bit more pay-per-views or what have you. AEW would have these long stretches of no pay-per-views. So sometimes they'll have this special event stuff like Winter is Coming or St. Patty's Celebration, whatever the hell they called it. Granted, I still love that Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match. It was so good. But some of those matches would matter, like big time. They're trying to propel it as like a mini pay-per-view segment, and to only get about 700,000 viewers is not good. I mean, granted, you're getting money through the sponsorships, and TNT's trying, man. They had Shaq on there, for Christ's sakes. They give Brandi Rhodes and Cody Rhodes their own reality TV show because that's popular. That's really just stealing WWE's fold, though, because WWE has Total Bellas, Total Divas, Miz and Mrs. They would have a real world wrestling if they could. Don't put that out there. Vince is going to steal my ideas. I'm not going to get compensated for it. So they're winning, not because they kind of beat NXT a little bit in the ratings war, but just because they might get to a million of viewers each night. Because if Raw is averaging about 1.8 million each night, and mind you, some say it's because lack of live crowd. I think it's just because the storylines are lame. That's it. But if it helps push AEW to a million views each night, that goes for the long-term extension, because right now there's like too much wrestling for them, because they have AEW Dark that airs on Tuesdays, which is on their YouTube channel. Now they have AEW Dark Elevation, so you get to see other wrestlers are on there, but they don't get Dynamite time, and they're not big enough, and they're probably not financially profitable enough to have a Raw, SmackDown, NXT component. But this is a win for them, and I think it's also a win for NXT. NXT beforehand used to be on just the WWE network exclusively. They only got the USA deal because AEW was kind of growing in, so Vince went cutthroat. For Universal, it's probably better to have something that's live original content than showing either a Modern Family rerun, especially since the show is finished, or a Law & Order SVU run, which basically finished in my eyes when Elliot left. So this gives a new component for them. So they're going to Tuesdays. I like it because that means Monday I get Raw, which I really haven't watched Raw, because part of the problem with the road to WrestleMania, guys, is that when the matches are set in stone and the stories are bad, I won't care about the stories until I get to WrestleMania, because what does WrestleMania matches usually get before everything? A vignette of everything that's going on. So I get caught up to speed, or I can just watch it on YouTube, especially since March Madness. We even talk about March Madness today, guys. March Madness matches have been great. I've watched a lot of them. There's been a couple blowouts, and I'm saying it right now because I don't want to forget about it. That was a foul, ladies basketball, women's NCAA. Baylor, she got fouled. I don't get it, the player for Baylor. Like, but Gino and Rieva get to go on to another Final Four. Ah, oh, corrupt. That's how I feel about the NCAA all the time. Is that Kirishima in the background? Damn right, it's Kirishima in the background. Can't keep. I'm a weeb, man. You can't keep that away from me. But NXT is going there. Speaking of NXT, they're doing a Gauntlet Eliminator Battle Royale because they have a pay-per-view next week. They're doing NXT Stand Deliver, splitting to two nights. So night one's gonna be a USA. Night two's gonna be a Peacock. I kind of like it. I kind of like that idea because it benefits both sides. It benefits the live TV, and then it benefits people who want to get the Peacock promotional deal, because I'm telling you guys right now, if you like wrestling, it is inexcusable to not pay $10 for 4 months worth of content, cancel it afterwards. I don't care what you do, but it's literally nothing. You're paying $10 a month for the network, so now you're getting 4 months for the same price. NXT usually delivers on their shows. I think there was only the In Your House that I didn't like last year. So what they're doing tomorrow is getting Gauntlet Eliminator match, and then so night one, and we'll go more full diving because I'll tell you now, next week's 100 episode cage is going to be NXT and WWE fully, but they got some stuff going on in there. So AEW, good on you for kind of getting there. NXT, I care about your matches. We'll talk about more next week. The whole thing about the Battle Royale is the last six men left get to go to a Gauntlet match on night one. And on night two, they go against Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. Unnecessary because Dexter Lumis is in it. And he's the one that's been having the storyline with Johnny Gargano predating about 3 months ago. So for story purposes, I don't think Lumis needs to win a Gauntlet match in order to get a title shot. You could just have it be there because they're kind of like semi-feuding. He kidnapped Austin Theory. He's turning Indy Hartwell against him. He's ruining the Way family. Now, however, this is just to utilize everything to give me Roddy Strong versus Johnny Gargano. Pepper's going to need some new shorts, guys. I'm going to be so excited that, you know, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to be wearing diapers to change myself because Roddy Strong can go. He has been underrated as a performer. He's been a highlight. I loved him in the Undisputed Era. They're officially broken up. Sorry to tell you guys this. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, unsanctioned night two. It's going to be chef's kiss. But utilize this because Roddy is built for the endurance. So have him build the story of the of winning the Eliminator, of having survived 1 week of a battle royale, then going to a night before winning Eliminator Gauntlet, and then going against Johnny Gargano, and you can have Johnny win and still have Lumis take it off on an NXT show, because what better way, I feel, to crown a new champion than the new day for the show to build people there, because that's how you kind of make people want to watch the Tuesday match, right? You say, hey, Johnny just won a very hard match against Roddy Strong, but this Tuesday he has to go against Dexter Lumis for the title, main event, North America title, because that stuff matters. That's logical booking, but that's the problem. I'm smart, and sometimes Vince isn't. We got to talk about the real monkey, because we're going to WWE in a second, but we got to talk about the real problem. So New Japan unveiled their unified IWGP, International Wrestling Grand Prix, World Heavyweight Championship. So if you saw photos of the original IWGP title, it was nice. It was black with a lot of gold. And the Intercontinental title was white labeling with white strap with a lot of gold. They've merged it. Kota won them both. This was the problem with the double belts. And then they give me this title. And I've seen it in the video of the unveiling. I saw stills of it. And it's not like the U.S. Championship, which I think is the most recent title got unveiled, because we're not counting the TNT Championship, because it was not prepared, unfinished, but they still showed it, and they gave me the finished product, and then Brody died, so they gave the finished product to the Sun, and now they gave us the one that's actually better. This is stuff that was like planned on. We're not going to call it count to do TNT one. I love the new WWE U.S. Championship. People hate it. I think it looks like an oversized Super Bowl ring. I think it's perfect, truthfully, to be honest with you. And then I look at this thing, and there's just so much trash on it. People hate it. They think it's like the Divas title that was in WWE for a long time. I don't even think it's that at all. I legitimately see it as, you mentioned, that looks like a Transformers sign for like Decepticons or Autobots.
This guy's the Wonderful 101.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What it reminds me of is like the little bell symbol from Super Mario 3D World, where you can become a cat. That's what I think of for some reason. The bell crown, whatever it's called, the bell flower, yeah. Bell flower. That's literally what pops to mind, because I think I know what they're going on. They're looking to wear it as, because if you try to imagine, it looks like a crown with a world on it, which is okay in theory, but the execution to work out, because it looks cheap is the word I want to say. And I don't know if I like it, because I get the idea that a world and intercontinental makes no sense. So you could have done something.
I guess, but these are the past ones that we're seeing back here.
Well, those are all the titles. So you have the intercontinental title that was unified. You have the heavyweight title that was unified. You have the junior heavyweight, which is for the cruiserweights. And to the right is the United States title, which is held by Jon Moxley right now. So they're all like in between. I don't hate the United States title, really. I think it's fine. The junior heavyweight's fine. I actually don't like junior titles, because a lot of them, once they're done being that, they get called up anyway to the main level. But I don't know if I like it because to me, the best heavyweight championship, I'm biased, is the big gold belt from WCW days. And of course, when it became WWE World Heavyweight Championship, because bring that up, just bring it up if you can right now, because we got to go and articulate this in comparison. Because on that title, that big gold belt, it has like the weird little shape structure that came in with the little groovings, but in of itself, and mind you,
Which
I
one are you
also like the
talking
current
about?
WWE
I
champion.
have here.
Type in WCW Heavyweight Championship
Oh, okay.
and maybe it'll come up. Because this one's no longer in current existence. Mind you, I do like the AEW World Heavyweight Championship because it looks like something from combat sports. But to me, the most perfect heavyweight title is always going to be WCW's Heavyweight Championship. Also, when it was rebranded as the World Heavyweight title, it's the big gold belt that was made famous for, for Ric Flair coming over from WWF, said he was going to bring over that big gold belt. But it's huge. I have a copy of it. I love it. It was $300 well spent. I don't care what anyone says. I have no purpose for it. But what I do is at work, whenever we did like the inter-program agency stuff, employee of the years, stuff like that, I just hand it off to them. It's like that little prize thing. But I love it. It's so cool. But the way they did it was the big world. It was two guys like grappling each other. It had like the indents and the groovings. And then we looked at this. Look at that beautiful thing. Have you ever seen anything more beautiful? My firstborn will not be as beautiful as that
You can
championship.
buy it on Amazon.
Well, I have it, so because kings take care of kings. But look at that. There's a crown on top of the world, and if you look at it, if you look at that, and you look at what the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship looks like, I feel like there's a certain mimicry to it. And it doesn't kind of work. And Kota was coming out. I sent you that tweet with a link. I'm like, Kota looks kind of miserable because I don't think it looks stupid, but I don't think it looks good. Some people really just hate it. I don't hate it. I just don't think it was fully necessary. But when you think about it, if your other two belts were like a standard size gold with a black strap and a standard size gold with a white strap, what do you get out of it, right? How do you make that better? You kind of can't unless you make it like the world bigger, but they could have done a little bit better with it. And the problem is you're stuck with it. You're stuck with
It's
this
the
for a long
design
time.
docs leaked for.
Oh my God. Yeah, it does. Damn it. It does look like Cody's neck now. Holy crap. It does. It does. It really. And I hate that tattoo. Cody, we love you. Follow us on Twitter, FJOJR, Dan Frijoles, Charles the True, Sports Goose. Damn, I hate your tattoo, bro. Like, or you have confidence to pull it off, but that title, I'm not crazy about that title. So that's a big fail on me, bruh. And now you can't even own it. You have to just keep with it and go from there and pray not a lot of people see it because it just looks awkward on Coda. So if it looks awkward on Coda, it's gonna look, I would say the WWE NXT UK Championship is pretty up there in quality. How's it gonna look on when eventually Shingo Takagi comes in? So let's talk about New Japan real quickly. There's a pay-per-view this weekend. Genesis. It's gonna be Genesis Sakura. It's gonna be Kota Ibushi defending his new, Mattel plated title belt, like Mattel made title belt. Mattel is a toy brand for those who don't know. Going against Will Ospreay and the Empire. I don't think Will wins, but if Will wins, holy crap, will that cause a lot of problems? I'm just ready to get to Kota versus Shingo. I feel like I've been deprived that. I know Will's the better bet now. I had to eat that humble pie about being wrong, but I'm interested in seeing what they're doing there. So that should be good. I'll YouTube it. I don't know what the other app matches are. I haven't really been paying attention to it. I think they're going to have Jay White possibly going against Hiroshi Tanahashi. I'm kind of done with that. I believe those two went against each other at Wrestle Kingdom, and that's what led to Jay White reclaim or winning the original heavyweight championship back then. But we'll see what happens there. I'll have to get the full card, and maybe I'll do like live tweeting. I don't know. I don't do any of that stuff, but always have to be subject to change because all cards are subject to change. What else is subject to change? The road to WrestleMania. Give you guys some updates. The matches are kind of confirmed. We're going to go a little bit more in detail about next week because I promise you it will be a WrestleMania filled cage. But Daniel Bryan's going to be in a triple threat, guys. I was kind of right about it. I called on the show 2 weeks ago and I hire me, Vince. I know what's going on. So Edge turned pseudo heel, Andrew, at the end of Fastlane because he was the enforcer. There was some screwy stuff that goes on. He made Roman tap. Daniel made Roman tap to the yes lock, but it was like the Liza tap. But granted, the counter argument is Roman did have Bryan beat 1-2-3 on a pin, but the ref was knocked out. But basically, Edge got hit with a chair by Bryan. Edge lost it, hit everybody with chairs because it was awesome. He's a tweener. I love it. and then Roman pinned him. And then what happened on Friday Night SmackDown, he's going to him, he's going to Adam Pearce and just say, hey, don't add Brian, because all Brian freaking does is steal spotlights. All he does is steal spotlights. He hogs WrestleMania moments. And that's an interesting story because it's true. Two cases in point. There was the Royal Rumble that Roman won, to which he got a title shot against Triple H, and the crowd made such a stink about it. They had Roman versus Bryan at Fastlane for the storyline purposes, where the condition was if Bryan won and beat Roman, he goes against Triple H at that WrestleMania. Unfortunately, it was Roman versus H at that WrestleMania. It was trash, but that was the whole thing. Bryan had to be into the momentum of being a fan favorite and then, you know, inserting himself in the picture. And then a couple years prior, and probably one of the best main events and also WrestleMania stories was Bryan. Kept getting screwed. It was supposed to be Randy Orton and Batista. Their yes moment was too strong for him, and it led to Bryan versus H in the opener. I don't remember which WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 30. Don't quote me on it, but you can. I'm probably right. I'm probably wrong. We'll see. And then later on, it was Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton versus Batista, where he had his WrestleMania moment and won the title. I think he had to, of course, relinquish it because of injury, because that's always what happens. So Edge is like, I won the Royal Rumble. I came in number one. I outlasted everybody. I outlasted you, Daniel Bryan. And you're telling me you deserve a title shot because you made Roman tap when the ref wasn't there? So they get brought in, and I like the story. Some people are like, oh, that doesn't mean Edge is this because he wasn't drawing as a face. No, I just think that Vince realized two things. One, Bryan is such an excellent talent, and there was no feud to put in for him as a one-off match that you'd rather insert him. And I'm all for triple threats. If you have, I'm all for using the best talent that you have available. I don't need every talent to be used, but I'm all for the best talents available to be there, to be utilized. And then two, it also goes to show what I believe from seeing a couple matches with Edge currently is that he's still kind of slow and rusty. And with triple threats, you can hide a lot of people's weaknesses, but I don't think anybody should be complaining about Bryan or Edge or Roman, especially when now you can gamble it on it, boys. See how I bring it all back on the foreshadowing? So WWE and DraftKings have now have a working relationship and partnership where you could bet on wrestling. And this is how I'm going to explain to you why I think it's brilliant. You never really know who is going to win. You can tell. Yes, it's scripted. Yes, it's a fixed event.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how do you bet on a scripted
college
event?
College football is pretty damn fixed.
You know, yeah, and I was like, the NBA also.
So the only people who knows what's going to happen is Vince McMahon, and it's only Vince. Because, guys, the word card subject to change is basically him. There's last-minute revisions going there. And you don't know about injuries. There have been guys who get scraped because of injuries and titles will change hands. You have botches. I'll give you a great example of when a botch goes wrong. So it was R-Truth versus Shinsuke Nakamura on a SmackDown for the United States Championship about 2-3 years ago. The ref messed up, did a quick pin, and R-Truth won the title. It was not supposed to happen. Rusev and Nakamura, I believe, were feuding against each other, and then the issue happened and led to R-Truth becoming U.S. champion on SmackDown. Betting is perfect, because if you're a gambler, you're going to love professional wrestling, because professional wrestling, I think it's better on the predictions, and it's also better on the swerves. You can bet on anything. Like, I don't know the whole intuitiveness of it and how they would do it, but if you said, Charles, How can I bet on this? Okay, do you want to bet that ends in a countout? Or you can put money that ends on disqualification? If you're a crap heel, if you're a shit heel who knows he's about to lose, then him using a chair on his opponent to retain his title, it might be a situation where the challenger wins, but the champion retains. It's really that down the line betting. It's almost the most accurate way, as like, oh, they're winning and the over-unders by three or whatever the phrase is. I don't bet. I do fantasy football and I just come in second place because I'm trash. Freddie chuckles at my spirit right now. But you have many multiple ways. So if you have a triple threat at Mania, maybe increases the odds, because now you have the bet between three guys. Does it end with Bryan winning, with Edge winning, with Roman winning? Who pins who? Who's the one to ease the pin? It's probably going to be Bryan, right? Because Roman can't lose. I really don't want Roman to lose. Clean would be terrible. Waste of character. You should have that title until SummerSlam. And then Edge, do we want Edge to even lose cleanly? Because him and Bryan can literally lose, eat the pin, Edge continues that feud with him, and they have a one-on-one feud. It's beautiful. You can put bets on the most minute things. And also, how does that person tap out? Roman tapped out for what looked like the first time in his career. Granted, it wasn't counted, but does that happen again? Or does he get hit by a spear? It goes from there. You can have variables for anybody who loves gambling, who loves the art. Like Floyd Mayweather is probably like salivating at this right now. Floyd was he was in WWE. He had a WrestleMania match against Big Show. Put money on himself now. So yes, it's scripted, but you're not part of the know. All you're doing is doing a very strong speculation. It's the same equivalent of the Lakers fully healthy going against the Sacramento Kings, who are not healthy in a standard game. It's the equivalent of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were trash last year, going against the Kansas City Chiefs. It might be an upset, but you feel like your gut instinct is going to put you into a different area. So tell me, guys, how is that different than anything else that you bet money on? And I think it's a brilliant deal, because what WWE wants to do, in the year that was supposed to be the worst thing for the pandemic and everybody was losing money, they found ways to make money. Oh, boy. And wrestling is consistent. You know what's great about the DraftKings and the wrestling? 365, 7 days a week. You also have three brands. I don't know the intricacies, but I'm sure you can make a great way for this. And that's all I got for you this week.
Okay.